This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, welcome to the Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and this is the reaction show for the NXT TakeOver Rivals show. And on the line, we've got my buddy Phil Schneider from the Segunda Caída blog. We've got Chris Zellner, who joins me on all the reaction shows. And we're joined by the Titans, Johnny and Pete, from the Titans of Wrestling. And so, guys... another stupid name for an NXT show, and I don't think anyone wants to talk about that in depth for 20 minutes. Right, Phil? You don't want to talk about this, right?
I do not.
Okay.
Shouldn't Chris get a plug-in about what he is? He's just the guy that joined you?
No, Chris, do I not save our Lucha Report talk for the end of the show every single time?
Just a fucking guy. This guy.
I don't
know what he's doing there.
Chris, this is my buddy, Jabroni Chris. I used to introduce Chris as the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame newsletter voter, and then that got too long-winded. So then it was the DVDVR Lucha Reports, and then I didn't even know when they came out, so I was like, fuck it, my buddy Chris. That's it. Done.
Cool.
So why are you sticking up for Zellner? Zellner was pissed off. He could have spoken up and said, my dude, what are you, his bodyguard?
Too much of a gentleman.
Exactly.
I'm a guy who hangs out with Chris. It's like Chris is the guy who hangs out with you.
I think Chris is a guy who doesn't give a fuck. We're here to talk some NXT, so let's move on. Okay. It's Ayo Tommy versus Tyler Breeze. Johnny Sorrow, what do you think of this?
I want a selfie stick. Is that a thing?
I've never heard of it before. I was cracking up about it.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Because when he first came out with it, I actually thought he was going to have his own, like, Johnny B. Bad Blaster or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, yeah, Bad Blaster.
Yeah, and then they go, it's a selfie stick, and I lost my shit. And then they go, he bought a selfie stick and decorated it. I'm going, wait, this is a thing? They actually have these, but I love Tyler Breeze, the gimmick and the way he walks down to the ring, the whole nine yards. I'm a big fan. This match itself, I liked it. It was fun. A little too many kicks for my taste. Just what I like in wrestling. It was like, it was a lot of kicks, but it was fun. It was a fun opener. There was a great, you know, good guy, bad guy dynamic going on. And I was just getting a little bored with all the kicking. But otherwise, nothing bad, though.
Pete, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like Breeze more than Tommy in the match. Breeze, I thought, did some nice little work on the leg and stuff. And Tommy, I don't want to say he sold it hard, but he was using his fighting spirit, but he was selling it after he was throwing kicks. So I was all right with it because the work wasn't like super dynamic where he had to play cripple. So it worked for me. It was a nice, fun little opener.
All right. What about you, Chris?
I thought that Tommy... kind of took Triple H's words to heart here as far as how he needed to let loose a little bit and, you know, let go and try to be what he was in Japan. And he showed flashes of it here. Breeze is the guy who I like. I like his character, and I like how he performs. He's usually always in pretty good matches, and he always lets the opponent get a showcase in on him. So
he's like the modern day Barry Horowitz, huh?
Well, I wouldn't go that. I wouldn't say that. Although I love Barry Horowitz, but I'm trying to think of who. I guess maybe he could say he's a poor man's Ziggler in ways. But yeah, the selling was okay. I did like that he actually did sell some Tommy, and the kicks were tough. I was kind of wondering if they were going to go to the GTS for the finish, but they haven't decided to do that yet. So he's still using the Psycho.
But when they teased it, that crowd just popped.
Yeah, they're definitely going to build to it. So, yeah, for an opener, yeah, it was fine.
And Phil, what did you think?
Well, I enjoyed it. I think the thing about Tommy selling is he kind of sells what you expect like a Japanese junior selling the injury, which isn't my favorite thing. Where it's like that's every Kenta match too. If they worked out a knee, he doesn't only sells it after he gets all the stuff in, and that kind of I didn't love that. I also think he's like as far as his kick goes, like it's like three look good and one looks terrible. I don't know if he's like actually figured out, you know, how he's supposed to be throwing them. You know what I mean? Like the levels aren't exactly calibrated yet. But otherwise, that was good. I guess it was like four criticisms for that I relatively enjoyed. I think I liked that more than I liked your British guys match. It was a little less overdone and, you know, kind of ended at the right spot. So it was fun. That's fine.
Yeah, I thought it was a fine match. I didn't think it was anything groundbreaking. But I want to kind of ask, get your vibe on Itami, Kenta, whatever, Hideo Itami. I don't know. Does anyone here honestly think that this guy has any shot at the upper mid-card or main event if he ever makes it to the main roster? I don't see it. Like, I'm not saying he looks small, like not even in stature, but he feels small as a character. Like,
yeah. That's what I was going to say, because I really, like, a lot of people watch NXT and they start thinking about, like, well, is this going to work in the main roster? I don't give a shit, because I'm watching it as a show. But I was kind of thinking the same thing, you know, like, oh, yeah, dig it, but he's going to need a character overhaul, you know, something, you know, hopefully not dumb.
Yeah, but knowing them, they'll go to a stereotypical type deal.
Yeah, they'll go to Quang, give him a Quang gimmick as a kicker.
If Vince is in charge, that's what's going to happen. You know?
No, I get that, but I'm just talking about, like, even like when Albert came out as Tenzai, it felt kind of big. You know what I mean? I mean, it was stupid, but.
Well, I mean, go to the more of the Tajiri route. Just develop a personality.
Yeah, like I don't even think he'd hit the Tajiri level.
Yeah, I don't think right now his charisma is anything to be writing home about. He's kind of there, and then they do interview him, and he does, I don't want to say broken English, but it doesn't do him any favors. And
what I meant by that is, like, remember when Tajiri first debuted in ECW, and the matches were good, but he was bland, and then he found a character that he stuck with pretty much and was...
Yeah, yeah, he got because of his charisma. I think Will was saying that he doesn't see the charisma.
Yeah.
He's just not as good as Tajiri.
Tajiri had that lucha background, so he knew how to pull off some of that bullshit stuff really well. That Tommy's always played serious ass kicker, so you'd have to change his whole entire makeup of what he's been taught.
Right.
Yeah, that may be the way to go, though. Maybe have him be more of the serious guys that maybe a heel.
Maybe. I don't know. I just know in Noah, and like I said, like, I'm not the biggest Kenta fan around. Or even in those ROH matches, he felt like a bigger person. I'm not talking about stature. Just he felt more important. And here, he feels like, I'm trying to think of like an equivalent. It feels almost like he's a Xavier Woods, you know, like in terms of importance.
Part of it, I'll say, and it might be, and I don't know how, of course I'm not there, so I don't know, but I was hearing Balor talk about how different it is working in NXT as in Japan, in the sense where you have to remember where all your marks are when you're coming down and doing this, and you got to remember where they're actually giving them instruction on where to be, where the camera shots are going to be. So that might be a whole entire different culture too to him, of having trying to incorporate that into his matches, thinking, okay, I need to be here for this camera shot. I need to be here. And that might be affecting him more in ROH. And I know ROH, they never gave a shit. And I know in Japan, obviously, because with Balor saying that stuff, that it's a lot harder to, there's a lot more to think about when you're working in front of in NXT.
It all comes back to Triple H saying he needs to let loose, and I guess he's trying too hard to fit in.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's also 33. I mean, I think he's probably not I think he wanted to wrestle in the United States, so he's probably happy doing that. I imagine it. It kind of feels a little like when Ultimo Dragon worked.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I think he's kind of happy to be there. It seems like he might just be happy to be there.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, which is fine. I just, you know, I kind of hope that he would kind of get over big, and it just doesn't feel as big, especially compared to some of the other guys on this show, even, that, you know, kind of came in at the same time or whatever. But let's
move on. Really have a program either, so yeah. That's another thing. He just
But even last month when he did have that tag program, you know, it didn't feel like huge anyway.
I'm gonna give him more time though, so
okay, yeah, move on. All right, next match was a Bull Dempsey versus Baron Corbin in a no disqualification match. And you know what, man? I don't like Corbin at all. Phil, I know you kind of liked Corbin in this. Tell me what you liked about this match.
I think he's a guy. I don't think we've really ever seen a bump before. I thought he had some really nasty bumps for a big guy. I thought his offense looked really good. I really liked his spine buster.
I think his finisher is horrible. I hate his finisher.
I like his finisher. I think it's kind of cool. It's you know, it's about the best version of that thing I've seen, and that's certainly. I don't love that thing. I mean, everybody does a version of that thing, but I think his is kind of cool, and it's pretty cool to see him doing it on that big of a guy, kind of effortlessly. So yeah, I mean, for a guy who's obviously still learning, I thought this was, you know, for one of his only competitive matches, but I thought it was pretty good. I mean, Bull Dempsey is very much an ECWA, a battle royalish kind of dude.
Yeah.
For, you have a WWE contract, but you know.
Yeah, he looks like a guy that would be working, you know, the mid card of a Frank Goodman show.
That was a joke I made on my blog, actually. I made a similar Frank Goodman joke, although I didn't think I gave him mid card. I said he was going to be in the ticket seller match.
He should be working Crazy Ivan.
Yeah.
I think I said, what's the way the convenience store guy? We're on the same page here.
I used the example that Bull Dempsey was Black Bart to Dan Spivey was Corbin.
You know, I was thinking Black Bart Jr., to be honest with you.
There you go.
He doesn't have that, like, professional look Black Bart has.
He looks like the American Yutaka Yoshi.
Kind of, but Yutaka Yoshi's, like, fatter in a real, like, kind of impressive way. He stopped fighting. He's beginning to lose 50 pounds or gain 50 pounds. Kind of what I feel about that guy. He's that middle range where he's not fat enough.
I don't know, man. I thought it was kind of refreshing like anyway. That they had a guy in NXT with that body shape. You know what I mean? That kind of get up. You know, felt kind of refreshing in a way. You know, to me, Dempsey was more refreshing than Corbin. Corbin seems so sterile to me. I don't know. I didn't dig it. What about you, Chris?
I thought Corbin was better when they were booking him in 30-second squash matches. And the fact that he going long is definitely not his forte, especially on television. If they're going to do that, do it on house shows. Let him get into it.
Hold on. Stop. Whoever's doing something in the background, crumbling paper, typing, just stop. Christ.
But Corbin, he has potential. I mean, he does do some things okay, but there were some bad botches in this match. The finish was a botch, you could say. I mean, it looked like he was a reversal, the finish. But I would give Corbin credit for basically deadlifting Dempsey. You know, that was kind of impressive. But yeah, not good.
What about you, Shu?
Yeah, that bump over the top rope where they definitely got the timing off, that was fucking terrible. And the crowd pretty much shit all over that. I think, God, the camera missed it or knew. I don't know if they missed it on purpose or knew it was coming and cut away from that fuck up. But they didn't catch the fuck up clean, so that helped. Corbin really does nothing for me.
Well, hold on. If the camera missed the fuck up, how did you catch the fuck up?
You saw part of it. You saw it coming, and then they kind of pulled away to Corbin. And you knew there was supposed to be a double bump, and then all of a sudden you hear the crowd shitting on it because then all of a sudden Dempsey takes a delayed, like, felt like a 5-second delay, but I'm sure that's a little long, but it was just ridiculous. Where I think they'd only give a pass to, like, a top guy, maybe. On that type of terrible of a bump, it was what it was. Corbin doesn't really do anything for me. Dempsey, You know, you see, I'm like on the fence with you, Will, where yeah, he feels a little bit more refreshing because everybody looks in such great shape in that company, in NXT and stuff. So he kind of stands out a little bit more. I don't think he's a great. I don't think he has any future in the WWE at all. So I don't know why they would bring him in and actually give him a mini push, even though he's been losing this feud. And yeah, Corbin just needs a lot of work because he on the TV before this he worked Neville and that match is. I mean, Neville did everything he could, and I'm not a huge Neville guy. But, I mean, Corbin was going into headlocks in like, a match that went, like, 6 minutes and stuff. So, he needs a lot of work.
What did you think there, Johnny?
Well, I'm thinking that Pete must have a secret feed that he was watching to see the things that you couldn't see. Well, and,
how did you see your shitty that? Internet that was flickering.
Yes.
You didn't
there see it is. Pizza. No, I did. Once I saw Corbin come out, man, I didn't even watch the match. I went and ate some food. I was just like, eh, I didn't like this. I didn't even care for this guy and like his minute squash on the last NXT special. So
wait, so you're sitting on this match? You didn't even watch it? Well, meanwhile, Pete's watching some other feed of that where he sees it don't exist. You're not even watching the match. You guys are sitting on it the worst.
No, I didn't shit on it the worst. I think Pete pretty much.
You're like, I didn't like this match at all. They were like, well, I went to go eat food doing it. Go to the goddamn Steve Williams, for all you know.
Yeah, maybe he was talking about what he was eating was crappy.
No, it was good food. It was good turkey.
As soon as I saw his T-shirt, Corbin's T-shirt says like Lone Wolf, and all I'm thinking of is Lenny and Squiggy, and just. I don't really dig him at all. That tattoo is awful, you know. And just, I like Bull, but you know, he's not ever going to make it to the main roster. And I guess you know they need guys, you know, like that who's like this is as far as you're getting. You made it this far, and when we eventually don't need you anymore, you can use this, you know, to make money in indie bookings. So,
okay, all right. Well, let's move on to the next match here. We're going to go with the new tag team champions, Blake and Murphy, versus the former NXT tag champions, the Lucha Dragons. And Zellner, I know you caught this. I caught it. I marked out. They made a Mulkey's reference to Blake and Murphy. You know, it kind of shows you the power of that Mulkey's upset where these guys are, you know, itching to talk about it, you know, what, 28 years later?
Yeah.
You know?
Or they don't have Vince there. It was God damn it!
No, it was funny that there was a Mulkey's reference in this match. And on Lucha Underground, at the same time, Johnny Mundo was wrestling Son of Havoc, and Matt Stryker made a Brian Excel reference. So the night of obscure-ass references.
Nah, but Mulkey's a little bit more famous than any Brian Excel reference.
I know, but just the fact that Brian Excel...
Not even comparable. Not even comparable.
This match really felt like a Brian Excel match.
Yeah, this was another match that was a 2002 ICW-type match in a way, where Blake and Murphy looked like they should have been working against the Boogie Knights or something, you know. They got potential as a team. They're still green in a way.
I like them. I didn't like their opponents. I thought the Lucha Dragons were dog shit.
Mess. He was
Why do you think they have potential? What's potential to do what? Looking like that.
To be a fucking modern-day Ring Crew Express. Man. I thought they were fun, man.
The TV match where they won the titles was only 5 minutes, and they were okay catching all the offense. As being spotters for the Lucha Dragons, but I was hoping this match was going to allow me to see if I can get a real feel for them, and I still didn't because the match was just falling off the rails because of missed spots and took me out of it.
It was almost one team single handedly missed spots though. Come on,
you know who they are though. They're like Hawkins and Ryder.
That's what I thought
in a lot of ways. But yeah, Sin Cara too had a bad match in this one.
So they have the potential to be Hawkins and Ryder.
Yeah,
they don't have the potential to get any worse.
I'm damning them with
to reach the heights of those guys.
Yeah, but yeah, Sin Cara. There are people on Twitter asking point blank, "Is Sin Cara drunk?" You know, he was working. The people actually were wondering if he was working the match, you know, like a Mr. Niebla or something. But Kalisto, the guy's got so much talent, and I don't know.
Yeah, he really does. With him. He really does feel wasted in this role, man.
Yeah, they got this. I don't want to be in the gay hairdresser like the rumors are going around, you know, last week. But
would it be worse than being Sin Cara's partner? Seriously.
How many variations of gay hairdresser? That's something that seems like at least a rumored gimmick I've heard for like 15 different guys over the last 20 years. Remember Champagne? Chris? He was going to come in as a gay hairdresser.
Well, Rico.
Rico came in as a gay hairdresser.
So what exactly is the appeal of that particular gimmick?
Vince has a hard-on for gay hairdressers, I guess.
Apparently.
The guy who's been doing his hair for years is a gay hairdresser.
That guy who was Barbara Streisand's hairdresser became a powerhouse.
But yeah, this match was totally disjointed, and it just didn't work.
Phil, what'd you think?
Yeah, that was. I think I sort of said it felt really Mayan XL-ish. It felt like not the first time the SATs had that match with Chris Devine, Brian XL, and Quiet Storm, like the fourth time. Like they did that one match that was really great, and they had like a bunch more matches that weren't as good. That felt like it was sixth or seventh of the series when they sort of had run out of ideas and sort of tried things they couldn't do, and it was bad. It seems like the weird like 2002 indie-ishness of NXT with those guys and Bull Dempsey, and then the next match would be your main event of that 2003 indie show.
Oh! I have some observations for later that are going to play right into that because you're absolutely right.
You would think that Dixie and Insane Dragon would be coming out next with Valentina. Yeah.
Yo, Fat Frank.
I wish. Dick, there's nobody on this show that's as good as Dixie.
Fat Frank is in the rafters in Raw way as we're watching this show.
Johnny, what'd you think, buddy?
Besides everything else, dude, I thought as soon as I stopped working at the strip club a year and a half ago, I would never have to hear that awful dubstep type music again. And there it was as their entrance music for Blake and Murphy. What a terrible, give him a name. I just Blake and Murphy. You know, it sounds like the guys who work down on the loading docks, you know, with Archie Bunker and Cunningham.
Hey, what happened to our VOD villains, man?
Yeah. They were the dark match against Enzo and Big Cass.
Oh, okay.
The two teams I enjoy watching. Okay.
What's the other team?
The Italians, Big Cass and Enzo.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean they might not be good, but they entertain me, and I enjoy the VOD villains. This wasn't good.
Yeah, so far, man, I've not been enjoying this show, even during my dinner, okay? But I didn't like... Yeah, I thought the Tommy match was fine.
Yeah.
Corbin Dempsey, I didn't... You know, whatever.
Didn't watch. You didn't watch.
I didn't say I didn't watch the entire thing. I didn't fucking watch that part. Oh, Christ. I didn't watch the part where they fucked... Where he fucked up the dive or whatever
Well, nobody saw that. That's
except for Pete. Whatever. No, nobody saw it, didn't you? You're assuming it was a fuck up because the timing was so bad on it because the camera shot. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Maybe you guys just blinked and missed it.
Yeah. Okay. And so anyway, well, here's something to look forward to. Solomon Crow coming soon.
Yeah.
About
time.
I'm looking forward to him. I mean, Phil, really, do you think, I mean, I don't know, man. These little guys are getting over in NXT, man. Do you have high hopes for him here?
I mean, he's really, really great, but Timmy Callen is also really, really short. I'm assuming he's probably been taking a lot of growth promos, but they probably haven't made him taller. So,
Neville's got nothing to do right now, so they can put him against Neville to start off with.
Yeah. I just want to see him wrestle, man. It's probably been, 2 years since he's had a wrestling match, but he's shown up anywhere.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
He's like one of my favorite guys in the world, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago. Those Finley matches, I think in hindsight, may be some of your best wrestling in the 2010s.
Those may be matches
of the decade contender matches. So I'm just, I'm just hoping that we get to see him have some matches with some dudes.
Right.
I'm so excited about that.
Regal's right there, man. Right. Have a Solomon Crow versus Regal, you know, Regal teaching.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking.
Yeah, for... And Regal could be mad because he's hacking his show.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Got to be there mad. You go. Built-in feud. Done.
Yeah.
Anyone else looking forward to
Solomon? I got to punch you really hard in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone else looking forward to Solomon Crow here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to bring something different.
All right, cool. Well, let's move on to our next match. Finn Balor versus Adrian Neville. Are they British? They're not British, are they?
One of them is.
They're both from United Kingdom countries.
Yes.
One's Irish though, right?
One's
yeah,
Irish.
Yeah, and Neville, is he from Wales?
He's Welsh, right?
Hey, yeah. He's
okay.
He's Welsh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, he's from Newcastle. Is Newcastle?
Yeah, he's
Welsh?
No, that's Newcastle,
right. Newcastle in England. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Newcastle.
My mistake. My error.
Yeah, God damn it.
I went to Wales once. There are some very pretty girls. But once they think they hit 23, it's like a big hell. There's like some beautiful girls between like 17 and 22. And then it was like a cleft.
that's when Parv gets done with them. And
that's why
you go there. It's
like, that's why Tom Jones left when he did.
Yeah, I mean, you go there. I think that's definitely a country without like 7 a.m. Pilates classes and green juices and, you know, like clean living. It's like a good.
They all get thrown down those mines that Adrian Street used to work in or something, huh? They all have to go work the coal mines. Well, let's talk about this match then. Pete, what'd you think, buddy?
You know, I see where people might love this match. It's not my cup of tea.
Is it anyone's Kier's cup of tea? Are we all going to say the same thing?
I'm going to defend this match. Shut up and let Pete talk.
Okay. I know Meltzer said it was better than anything on the New Japan show last night, and I haven't seen it, so I can't vouch for that. I felt it was pretty spotty, and it built had a lot of big moves and a lot of cool moments, and I thought Balor has just an insane amount of charisma. I mean, it helps that he gets that kick-ass entrance on these specials that no one else really gets. So that helps with getting him over. I felt like they didn't have a connection on how they were getting to from spot to spot. It felt like a little bit of more your turn, my turn, and I'm not even sure if that's the right setup. It was just more like they're doing like the dead selling, but then all of a sudden they had a kick out and stuff. So just like, I hate that type of shit. And that spot where Neville was doing like crawling away on the floor. Why the fuck are you crawling away on the floor for? Why don't you just stand up and run like a man? It was all because they were setting up a spot. And I hate little stupid things like that when they're doing something that makes no sense to set up a spot. But the finish, I thought the finish was super hot, and I just thought they used a lot of like cool stuff to try to pass it off as classic, and I just thought it was a fun match if you're into that stuff.
Chris,
I don't see the charisma at all. I don't get that at all.
Really?
I think you're completely wrong. And I think you're completely wrong.
Do you think Balor's really charismatic?
I'm going to explain that after Chris's opinion.
I think he comes across as a Chris really cool motherfucker and stuff.
Phil, I'm going to save you for last. Let's get Chris's opinion.
All right. As far as the match or the charisma?
The match, man.
Okay.
But match, then charisma, then we'll get Phil's opinion.
All right. I thought the match was highly entertaining. I thought that the two guys worked their asses off, and they had a pretty damn good match. The Balor's ring entrance, I don't like them using it for back-to-back shows. I think that should be for really special matches.
But do you like it?
I love the entrance act. I do. You know, okay. I know some people. Dylan does not like it. I know there's some people that don't like it, but the fans love it. They're you know, heavy into it, so it works. But like
Chris,
I said, you do it too much.
Aren't these the big shows? He doesn't
do
it on
the last
TV.
One though.
Right, but he doesn't do it on the weekly TV.
Yeah, but maybe do it like two or three times a year.
Like, maybe when he's getting a title shot or when he's the champion, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, if it's like the main match of a feud, this is a number one contender match. If it was a main match of a feud, like the blow-off match, something like that, then you bring it out of it.
Chris, but, they did these NXT specials every month, like, you know, WWE pay-per-views or special events, I'd agree with you. But the fact that there's only three or four of these a year, I actually don't have a problem with it.
And see, I can get behind that. I can get behind it. I just, I don't know, two in a row. Maybe it's alternated out.
I'm waiting for a heel when in the dark runs up and kicks him square in the face because he's not paying attention because he's looking on where he's crawling in the dark. That's what I'm waiting for.
But the match was, like I said, a strong match. Balor has definitely, in my opinion, has charisma in that role he's in. Now, maybe when he's working straight arrow Finn Balor, it's not as much. But the guy is a hell of a worker, no matter what. So he's going to get over with his ability and his moves. Okay. But yeah, this was a compared to what the matches that was on before. Yeah, this was far and away superior to anything that was, you know, earlier in the show, and it was a breath of fresh air.
Okay, now Phil, I know I was cutting you off earlier, but I knew your thoughts on the match, so I really did want to save you for last. I kind of Chris just kind of completely. You know, went the opposite direction of you here, man. So tell the people what you thought of this and why you think that way.
I really don't see Baylor. I know people say, oh, you know, he's gonna be the next big guy. He looks really phony in the ring to me. Like he looks like he really is almost like the worst of Christopher Daniels-isms. Where he's kind of like looking to like perfectly execute everything he does. And I think the entrance thing is really dumb. I think the face paint is, I think, especially because he's not mixing it up. I mean, this looks exactly the same as it did before. I don't get him. I never got him in Japan. I don't get him here. I thought this was fine, but, you know, it felt like it would be, you know, the third or fourth best match on during the period where Ian was bringing in indie superstar guys and I'd have been in it. So, like, it wouldn't be as good as your Chris, whatever your Chris Hero main event was, it wouldn't be as good as your Delirious Alex Shelley match. It'd be a little better than the fat guy who does the freeze frame, that guy's match. So I knew as well as watching, I was like, man, there's gonna be a lot of people who really like this, but I don't know. There was no point in me where they ever did anything that was different or interesting enough to make up for really running this very, very played out style of match.
You know what? This is where I'm going to disagree, man. Because you know, Phil, I generally agree with you. We were just talking about like Finley versus Crow or Regal versus Crow, and you and me, we're 100% together on that. I never got Neville and as Pac. I thought his moves were always kind of amazing looking, but I always thought that the guy just like never slowed it down ever. And then I like. Baylor's entrance. I like him 100% more as Baylor than I ever did as Prince Devitt. And when I saw this match early on, man, I was thinking, wait, Baylor's trying to speed it up because they had that initial flurry. So I'm thinking like you, oh, this is going to go 100 miles an hour. They're just going to hit a bunch of shit. And then Neville grounds him, man. He grounds him early on with the chin locks and the headlocks and the you know, every time Baylor would try and come back, Neville would ground him again. And then he had some really nice German suplexes, like, you know, those Timon Honda kind of paws Germans, you know, that he would do. And I thought those looked excellent. And
that's
I thought
not
that.
Timon Honda,
I'm not insulting him. I'm giving praise where it is deserved. I'm giving
Olympian.
Praise where it's deserved. You see, and like you said, you don't get it. So, I mean, you already went in with the preconceived notion that you were going to hate this match, and you did. And you
he
got
didn't
what
have
you
a
expected.
Preconceived notion. He watched the match and he didn't like it.
Dude, this is Phil.
I thought it was good, but not
8 years.
I mean, that's just hyperbole there, Will.
Hold on, defender of Phil, Pete. We got Phil, defender of Chris, and we got Pete, defender of Phil. What the hell is this show coming to?
Pete, I take back all the bad things I've ever said about you.
Christ. No. This is Phil Schneider I'm talking to. This is a guy I've talked wrestling with for like 8 years. And this, I know what Phil likes. I knew he wasn't going to like this before they even stepped into the ring.
And I did not.
I know. And I didn't think I was going to like it either, but I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that Pete was completely wrong in his assessment about what these guys did, especially early on. I thought, and the big moves at the end, I thought they were, of course, they were going to be well executed, but I thought they fit well, man. I thought they were good.
I really enjoyed the match. I just felt the selling.
And Will, it's also possible that on the feed Pete was watching the match wasn't well executed.
That's true. It could have been Pete's.
Exactly.
Feed. That's why he had that Phil Schneider feed for this match, you know, like. Anyway. All right, guys. Well, hey, man, we've had a lot of fun talking here. You know, me and Zellner, we like that last match a lot. Pete and Phil shit all over it, but that's okay because we've got two more matches to go. And when we come back from the break.
Oh, hold on. Let me take it back for saying I shit all over it. I still like the match. I just like
the finish with the big near fall.
I like the finish, like the near fall. I didn't like a lot of the transitions. They didn't kill the match for me. I mean, I think you and Zellner liked it more than me, but I think I liked it better than Phil.
Okay. All right. Well,
I did not like it at all.
I kind of like you better, Pete, as like the defender of Phil and shit. That was
my homie, man. Pete rolled.
I've had to put on my shining armor. Now it's going to take forever to get off because that doesn't play well with me.
Fucking rusty armor. Anyway, let's move.
Need Vaseline to get it off.
Oh God, fucking Pete the Tin Man. There you are. That's your new fucking. Gimmick. All right.
If Finn Balor can battle
in your makeup.
If he only had a heart.
I only had a heart.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick,
With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Boneheads has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Okay, welcome back to the Place to Be Nation. This is the NXT TakeOver Rival Reaction Show. And I'm here with my buddies Phil, Chris, Pete, and Johnny Sorrow. And we've already talked about the first part of the show. And now we're going to go into the final two matches. Next matchup, Charlotte versus Bayley versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. Chris Zellner, what'd you think?
I thought that it started out kind of shaky in some ways. I said on Twitter, I thought this could either be really good or a total clusterfuck, and it became really, really good. I was impressed by everything.
It's kind of both.
Yeah, you can say that, but I was impressed with everybody in the match, especially Sasha Banks, who she definitely came out of this as the clear best woman in that group at NXT. She was awesome in this match and everything she did. Now, Becky, I will say this for Becky Lynch. Becky has got some talent. And I think she needs more time in a bigger role. You know, maybe feuding with Sasha or whatever. But she's got potential. Bayley is kind of I don't know.
Awesome.
She's really good, but she's also kind of getting stale in a way. And I mean, how many times is she going to lose, you know, in big matches?
Yeah, but they did the same storyline with Zayn, and it worked like a
true, but this, you know,
Zayn was over, like, as opposed to compared to Bayley.
Yeah, Zayn.
Are you kidding? Bayley's
super
a different over. Level.
Bayley's super over, but not Zayn over, Johnny.
Bayley's insane. Over in not a serious way.
Yeah.
You know, Zayn's over in a more serious way.
Yeah, Bayley's over like, hey, oh, look at my kid sister wrestling over.
Oh, well, we'll get to when I'm talking.
Yeah, but Charlotte's the one, you know, and she gets all the praise, and she does do some stuff really good, but she's got some work she needs to take care of, too. And my thing is, though, the way it looks, she's going to be going to the main roster. So she might get exposed a little bit up there. But the way they book the women, she won't be wrestling but maybe 2-3 minute matches. So it really won't make a damn difference. But, yeah, I was glad Sasha won. She needed to get that win, especially over Charlotte clean. I love the finish. The coming out of nowhere finish, because, you know, it was set with the cross face, and all of a sudden she rolled over in the crucifix cradle and 1-2-3. You know, cold finish, but done perfect.
I don't think it was that cold, man, because Bayley had already thrown Charlotte off the top rope with that belly-to-belly. So I thought that finish got really set up nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was great. It was a great finish, but it was cold the way the fans did not believe that was going to be the finish. So that's why I like it. I liked it like that. So they did that one right. The stuff at the end was interesting because Sasha and Charlotte do have this real-life beef with each other. And it definitely added an extra element to how that post-match went. So, yeah, I thought that Meltzer called it one of the five best women's matches since the Jumping Bomb Angels era. You know, which it is in women's WWE women's matches are what they are. But yeah, I mean, it was a really damn good match considering four women in there. Really damn good.
Phil, you said this was kind of both a really good match and a clusterfuck. What was the clusterfuck about this?
I thought the first, like, 6 or 7 minutes of it were pretty bad. I thought they were setting up. I really liked the finish, but I thought the end run of it, where they were really, I thought the beginning of it really had some awkward stuff. The double knee thing, I thought was pretty bad looking and really long. It took a really long time to set up.
I'll agree on the setup. I actually thought the payoff looked pretty neat.
Well, that's the thing. I thought, Becky Lynch, I thought, oversold because it didn't look like she got hit at all. And she was selling, like, death from the knees.
Yeah, and there were a couple of other points where it really looked like they weren't really connecting well with anything. I really liked the last, like, 5 minutes. And I agree that Sasha Banks, she's not something that, I mean, I think I've probably only ever seen her wrestle in the two matches and maybe the last two shows. But yeah, she's good. And I really, and Charlotte's flexibility and anorexia really mean that, like, cross. She, like, her entire rib sticking out, looking like it was going to pierce through her stomach. I really liked the finish. That was good. I don't think it was nearly as good as the last match from the last show, but I think it's probably just a general issue I've got with four ways.
I will say this, seeing Charlotte do that pescado made me want to see Ric Flair do a pescado.
Johnny Sorrow, I know you said this was an awesome match on the board. What'd you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed the fuck out of this. But I agree it started out a little sloppy. But as it went on, I was just having a lot of fun watching this. Mainly, I'm just going to go into characters. Becky Lynch doesn't have much of a character, but the other three girls, I am like totally involved in their characters watching NXT, you know, and I think Sasha Banks is fantastic. She's my favorite of the wrestlers, as far as her wrestling skills and all that. But I just want to say Bayley is probably like my favorite character in wrestling right now. It's the weirdest thing. When I started watching NXT and seeing the character, and when she comes out and the music hits, the wavy balloons, and the way she carries herself in that character, I am so invested in her. I think that this could be potentially huge. I don't think, like I said, I hate to talk about the main roster, but I think there's just if she could connect with a 44-year-old fucking dude, you know, with this character, and make me like, I want to cheer her so much, you know, then that there's something there, man.
Well, even take out the 44-year-old demographic, I think she's tremendous connecting to little kids. You think?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If she could connect, if she can connect with me. And imagine, it'd just be huge for kids, you know, and then adults are going to like her, too. I think she's, everything about her is
yeah, except for perfect. Gender, right? Which won't get over.
Here's what concerns me about that is that I thought people were saying the same thing about Emma, and she was a flash in the fuck of it. No, I'm serious. People were going nuts for Emma online.
Right.
And she was getting over huge in NXT, too.
And now she's back in NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I see the big difference between the two. There's like, with Emma, you're like, oh yeah, she's silly and goofy, and look at that. And Bayley, I want to cheer for her. I want her to.
What are you talking about? Those Emma Page matches were pretty damn good.
No, in the ring, she was very good. Yeah,
but Bayley has more of like that plucky baby face thing going too.
Yeah.
All right. Pete, what did you think of this?
The way Corey Graves just shits all over Becky Lynch, you'd think she gave him blue balls or something. Because, I mean, he was all over her ass about everything.
Yes.
I mean, there's got to be some backstory that, I mean, I've I mean, it makes me chuckle. I mean, but from here and then, like on the TV show, he was degrading her devil. What do they call it? The devil sign. Just Shane, that's a disgrace to him. And so I don't know. Maybe there's something there that I don't know about. I'm agreeing with everyone else. I was a little sloppy to start, but it really built into a really good match and a real exciting match. And Sasha Banks, her personality is so head and shoulders above everyone on the roster, and just coming across like you really don't like her. She's really good at playing her character. Is it true that she's somehow related to Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
Okay. So I mean, she does play that well. I mean, I've been a big fan of Charlotte. She does have need work personality wise. She's not there. Maybe if her father's talking for her on the main roster, might hide that. I don't know. Again, I mean, I had a whole booking plan for her to be like the Ronda Rousey of the female division. That's not
good. Well, that guy Dave got him a chubby just then.
Yeah. So I just don't see that. Again, it's like I was saying earlier about how their gender is hurting Bayley. It's the same thing going to hurt all these women when they move up to the main roster. Because I really do think there's a market for all these girls who are watching Total Divas. They put a 30-minute television show on the network. They might get a little bit of subscribers and just build some of these characters to attract these little girls, which is a marketplace that the WWE just doesn't market to really well.
Well, I hope little girls are watching Total Divas.
I bet you they are. Or I bring this story up many times. I went to a Raw show because my friend's girlfriend wanted to see Total Diva Girls and just couldn't understand why. And this was during the Bella feud. Couldn't understand. Right. It was the big angle in Austin where Triple H put the TV put the table against Brie or whatever. Now it was.
No, I'm saying little girls.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But I think girls.
I'm just saying. Are you guys seriously thinking about how to attract little girls is creeping me out? Believe me, guys. I know how to attract little girls.
Who are you? He's
fucking creepy.
The theme music for the show should be Maurice Chevalier from Gigi singing "Thank Heaven for Little Girls."
Yeah.
But back to the match. The coolest thing was I thought every person had an opportunity to shine and get over, which a lot of times in the four-way matches that doesn't happen. So usually it's like one or two people, but everyone had a moment to really look good. I thought Sasha came out looking like a star, and that finish was just tremendous. I thought they were going to make Charlotte into Dusty Rhodes passing out, and they threw a little wrinkle into it, which made it even more special.
Real quick, Chris, I wanted to ask you. You're saying that there's real life, you know, heat or whatever between Charlotte and Sasha, which it's funny because I was just watching that WWE 24 thing about WrestleMania 30, and where apparently it was Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks were the wenches for Triple H's Barbarian entrance, and it was all about how the best friendy they are, and they got this chance to do this, and I picked up that vibe at the end of that, so I had no idea that there was like...
Yeah, they were really tight, but something happened. I don't know if professional jealousy or what, but yeah, there are some issues there.
Well, you'd think maybe between the girls, you're like, yeah, okay, you're Ric Flair's daughter, you know in this business that gets you places.
Oh, definitely. I will say this, I did dig the suplexes in this match, especially Becky's Odakayama for that.
I don't even know what an Odakayama is, but.
Ode to Akayama.
All I know is that. No, I was going to mention this. I know, like, we're talking about the early portion being sloppy. There are a couple of spots I really liked early on. I liked the Rockabye Bailey spot early on where they kind of like threw her into the ring post. And then I don't know. There was a Becky Lynch suplex early on that was just straight All Japan 90s style nasty.
That's what I'm saying. Nasty. The suplexes were great.
I like that you named it Rockabye Bailey. That's very cute.
And they knocked the LED board out for a while with Charlotte's body. So that was a cool spot.
Yes, Albert made sure to tell you that a million times as he was butchering the English language all show. By the way,
you know, but now I thought there were some cool spots in this match. Now, which is Charlotte the one who calls herself the boss?
No, Sasha.
Okay, because when she said that, I was thinking at the end, Charlotte kind of looked like a battered women's shelter version of Judith Light. And I was like,
hey, who's the boss, Angela?
Who's the boss now? Yeah, that's exactly what I came to mind. I'm showing my age. I know I'm an old man, and I'm making
If I'm not mistaken, I think she did a TV movie where John Stamos played like a rapist, and he raped her. And around that time, period, who's the boss is out. Somebody look that up. I swear to God, because Stamos was on Stern. This is about 91, 92.
Well,
and
we
it was her.
We have Ms. Dow as the stunt double. Then she was definitely, Charlotte was definitely the stunt double for that.
Hey, Angela, I'm back in Mona, and who's the boss now?
Christ. Anyway, man, let's move on to this main event. All right. Phil, what'd you think of Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, bud?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. I think I mentioned this in my review. I think both guys have cut out a lot of the things that I didn't like about them when they were in the indies. Owens had a tendency to kind of stick it up a little bit, and you know, I thought that he was just really, really intense in this and wasn't putting a lot of time, like, you know, doing bad improv comedy with the audience. And I thought El Generico, I thought was a little handy. And I thought he cut that down a lot too. Like, I thought that was, I really loved the part where he kind of went to run for the kick and lost his balance. So that was subtle, which isn't something that I'd ever thought I'd say about that guy. I thought with the Indies, kind of everything was turned up to 11. I think a match with that finish kind of sets up a better rematch. It's kind of what it felt to me. Like that, I mean, they really kind of, and I'm assuming they're not, you know, why I thought this felt a lot like Cena, Lesnar. I think they won't screw up the rematch the way they screwed up with Cena Lesnar. I'm assuming when they have, I have faith in the way that the show is booked, that the rematch, when Sami Zayn beats him at all, it won't be as botched as that match as the second Cena Lesnar match from last year. I liked it a lot. Really good. No real complaints.
What about you, Chris Zellner?
Oh yeah, I really love this match. I thought that the booking at the start was really good. I thought Kevin Owens is owed to future Hall of Famer Larry Zbysko at the beginning was a nice touch. and Zayn just killing him on that dive was a tremendous way to start the match. Yeah, the object of this match totally was to get Owens over as this badass dude. I wouldn't say monster per se, but it's a badass dude. And they did a great job of doing that. Zayn took a shitload of punishment. And, yeah, it did look like the New Japan Junior version of Cena and Brock in a lot of ways at the beginning. But then Zayn made his comeback, unlike Cena, and Zayn really started, you know, to turn it up. And that's when the match really got going. And there was some really great exchanges there. And then the whole thing with the head, I thought they did that really well. And I thought that they were going to go to the old Bob Backlund deal where whenever Backlund would work against a heel, just about every time he had that first match with him, he would lose the match by blood stoppage. But he would not lose the title. So I thought that's where they were going to go. They were going, but not blood, because of course they won't do blood. But I thought they would stop the match, and you know he'd still be the champion, but he'd lose the match. Well, now they gave Owens the title, so I thought that was an interesting move there, and it was the right move because Owens did not definitely not need to lose that match, and Zayn didn't need to lose that match in a convincing way. So the way they booked that, I thought was very well done. It kept Zayn strong because he didn't quit. The doctors stopped the match for him. Owens looked like a complete beast out there, just powerbombing into an oblivion. And, yeah, it totally achieved their goal of what they needed to do. And definitely want makes me want to see a second match, which that's the, you know, that's the job. Make you want more. Get me out there for the next show. And yeah, kudos to Triple H and Ryan Ward and the boys.
All right, what did you think there, Pete?
Yeah, I loved it too. At first, I thought it might be a match of the year contender. I got to watch it again to get a real gauge on that. But I thought I loved so much about this. I loved the early stalling because they were the way they were anticipating the build and like you're expecting them to go after each other. So it was a nice little twist to see Owens bailing out immediately to even build the heat up even more. I loved Owens just destroying Zayn's neck and his shoulder area and just going after it, then slapping on headlocks and rubbing his forearm into him. Just real gritty stuff. And it, like I mentioned on the board, that I felt like they almost worked the snark out of the Full Sail crowd, where they started to buy into this as like almost real, because they were doing their little back and forth chant, but about 10 minutes in, that shit went out the window and they were invested, and you saw some of the reactions from the crowd, and Sammy was selling really just beautifully. The one thing I didn't like, Sammy slapping himself, I thought that was a little over the top, but it got the crowd excited. So, and in one way it worked, but in, like, I remember a line from Phil Schneider that wasn't over in my living room. But then they build into then Zayn is, and then I like Zayn's on his comebacks, where it's awesome because he's now targeting a nice payback spots on Owens's neck and shoulder area for payback from what just happened and from the angle. So it all played in. So it was really great storytelling. And then the finish was something I think a lot of people – I mean, it's a UFC finish in a way. And they need to – I mean, I think they need to educate their fans so people understand it more. But I got it. So it worked for me. And I mean, I loved it. And it makes you – again, it makes you want to buy another fucking match between these guys. And they worked so hard and had a different match than anything they've done on NXT as in on a more – like a physical, I mean, they've had a lot of hot matches and a lot of great moves and this and this. This is had it all, but it had an edge of like hate feel to it, which I really haven't seen on the NXT level yet.
And you know, and that's a great point. You know, all these NXT shows have ended with the fans, you know, going away happy in a way. You know, I mean, there's always, you know, there's I wouldn't say celebration, but was the fans were in fear in ways, and there were a lot of people in the crowd reading on Twitter and people that were there, like there were some people that were disturbed at all the punishment that Zayn was taking. And
I mean, those rabbit punches to the back of his head were nasty.
Yeah,
that was my favorite part of all that.
And
this is a snarky crowd, like Pete mentioned, and the fact that they turned them like that. It's definitely a credit to the talent.
Yeah, that to me was like the most more impressive thing than anything they really did in the match, was being able to turn that crowd. I thought it was rather funny on the board. I mentioned it, and some guy got me pretty good. I got a chuckle out of it. He goes, "You might." I said, "They almost beat the snark out of the crowd." He goes, "But they didn't beat the snark out of you." I thought that was pretty good.
What about you, Johnny?
This is probably my favorite match I've seen in a long time. This was everything I like about wrestling. This just, I love this so much. It blows me away, and we're bringing it back to Phil going on about the indie shows we all used to see. I first saw these two guys in 2004 in Jersey All-Pro in Rahway, New Jersey, in a card where they were just brought in as these young guys from Canada. Steen was skinny. Steen beat XS 6'9". Remember that guy?
Sure.
Yeah, he beat him on that card. Then they had a four-way with Grim Reefer. Chasen Rain and Jack Evans and Generico on it. Beef Wellington was on there. He fought Super Dragon, and I just remember just loving these kids from Canada who had made their way down there. Like talked to them for a bit, and it blows my mind to see that 10 years later I'm watching WWF Network, and there they are, and they're tearing it the fuck up. And as far as like this, you keep going to, you guys mentioned Cena Lesnar. I was also thinking Vader Sting, the first time Vader killed Sting and won the belt in WCW. When I realized where they were going at the end, that they weren't going to do a, you know, we stop it and you don't win thing, that, and it kept going on, and he just kept destroying him. I loved every fucking minute. Zayn has worked for a year and a half or whatever, the story to finally get to the top and win that belt, and the guy who was his best friend in the indies, which is something they barely, almost never reference, he comes in, forces his way to the top. He's like, I'm not going to wait in line for a shot. Forces his way to the top, and then brutalizes his best friend or ex-best friend to win the belt. And so Sammy finally won the belt, and the next show he loses it to his former best friend. This is everything I love about professional wrestling. I loved this match.
They did a great job of the presentation, like you were mentioning. The video, yeah. The video leading into the match was really great. The old pictures,
personal pictures helped a lot on that.
Yeah, definitely. And then the announcers really hammered it home on the pre-show and on the main show about, you know, Steen. Corey Graves definitely was doing this, about how Steen was, this is a business deal. He had to look out for his family. He's trying to feed his family. And the best way of doing that is being the champion. You know, so
yeah, I really liked how Steen said, he said, you know, I had to be out there. I was so proud of him. I'm still really proud of him. Like, you know, like, yeah, that was really great. Like,
I love that.
Look, I'm a prize fighter.
And then the emotion he showed at the end. I mean, he's out there. He's bawling his eyes out. He won the title. And, you know, the way he was booked in that match, they showed
you
how serious he took
it. But they also, with this whole, like, hey, it's just business. But he heals up. He spit on Sammy. You know, he taunted him. That spot where he just spit on him over and over again from the top rope before missing the big bomb was fucking just great heel work. I thought this whole show was hit or miss, and this just saved it. It was,
yeah, when they did the shot of Sammy showing him, like, putting his tongue out, I honestly thought he was going to blade inside of his mouth for a minute to get a or take a capsule and try to make it look like he got internal bleeding going. I was like, no freaking way. But of course it didn't happen.
And that rollover he did on the power, I can't remember which power bomb it was, but the one on the near fall where you thought, oh, it's over now. And then he just happened to just roll over.
Because Steen wasn't putting any pressure down on him.
Yeah, just so great.
Because he's being cocky. And that's a great thing, too, because, oh, he was cocky. Now the baby face is going to come back. And no, it didn't happen.
Well,
sorry.
Well, after that happened, two or three more power bombs after that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think
Bray Wyatt was watching this tonight going, man, I better pick my shit up into gear, because there's a guy who could easily take my spot. Because that's, I mean, they look like they physically look a lot alike, you know.
Is Kevin Owens taller than Bray Wyatt?
No. But,
he's in better shape than Bray Wyatt is right now.
He's better shape than Bray. Had a better match
Owens
than Bray put on in a while, so far without Wyatt.
Yeah, Owens has definitely got himself in better condition, no doubt. He's definitely putting in the work.
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw Wyatt live last week, and I was like, damn, look at the size of that motherfucker. Like, and not fat. He fucking had guns.
Well, I think the thing that concerns me about Owens, because, I mean, a lot of his moves, you know, the big senton, the power bombs.
The one they couldn't name.
Hold on. Oh, they can't name it the power bomb anymore?
No.
Papa power bomb.
No, he did that one sick move, and they were just going, we don't even know what to call that.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, I mean, that works great on guys the size of Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn. I don't know if he's going to be able to do stuff like that to your John Cena.
No, yeah, Cena will take bumps, so I think he
will. I'm not talking about taking bumps. I'm just saying it's not going to have the same effect because he's not going to be a big guy in that company.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, right now, he's kind of like a stout bull.
Yeah,
you know?
True. I mean, it is.
And he's not like Rhino thick either. Rhino,
no, I get you.
That way, you know.
Yeah, you still got Danielson and Ambrose. I mean, it's not like the Fed is full of 6'8" guys anymore.
No, it's true. I don't see, like, Owens versus Roman Reigns, like, striking the fear in Roman Reigns, you know. Avoiding that powerbomb or anything. But anyway, guys, let's talk about the show as a whole. I'm going to go thumbs up on the strength of the last three matches that I really enjoyed. Thought the first half of the show, or first beginning of the show anyway, was really weak, but really picked up. And then I'm still going thumbs up, man. NXT continues to deliver on these network specials. What'd you think, Pete?
Yeah, thumbs up. I liked 4 out of the 6 matches. You know, I mean, then the 2 ones, I didn't think going in they were going to be that good. I actually had a lot more high hope for Murphy Blake and the Lucha Dragons. That really let me down. So I give it a thumbs up. I mean, and they on topped on with a great main event and pretty good undercard. And then they had enough differences in the matches. It wasn't a lot of samey stuff. So it gave you a little – if you're into high flying, it had high flying. If you like hate-filled fight, you got a main event like that.
Well, that's kind of the great thing about NXT, at least on these specials, is that it kind of is a variety show. And it has been, you know. Said the same thing about the last show.
Yeah, except this one, the only thing it really missing was it didn't have shtick like the Vaudevillains, which I haven't been a big fan of their act, but if they're into that type of shtick, I mean, it was kind of missing, like, because we got a really crappy tag match.
Well, you should, Tyler. You had the selfie stick.
Yeah, that was sticky.
Oh yeah, you got that.
Yeah,
that's
the sticky teams and like the stuff I like.
Yeah, like stuff like Johnny, like Miz Dow.
There was no Ascension on the show, which is a definite win.
Yes.
There you go.
They saved that for the main show.
Yeah. What about you, Phil?
Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah, I also liked 4 out of 6 matches. I think they were a different 4. But, the match for the main event was good enough. It really didn't matter what was up the undercard, honestly. It was never made event that good and really, you know. That's what you're going to remember. The other side, the other stuff was fine. I didn't think United Kingdom got indie guys match. I said, you know, I appreciated that they did what they were set out there to do.
Right. Well, hold on.
Hold on,
Johnny.
Now, Phil, though, on the are you going to throw down this as a potential match of the year contender or not even close?
The main event?
Yeah.
I think it'll make my list. I don't think it's going to end up in the top. Hopefully, it won't end up in the top 20 by the end of the year. But I'm hoping for. I don't think it's as good as. I think my current 1 and 2. Although I'm still waiting for Eric to write reviews of them, as I should just get a sound bite on that for every one of these shows. So waiting for Eric to write reviews on my top 2 are Ricochet, Drew Galloway, and your Ultimo Guerrero. Six man from Lucha from
Revolution Pro
against the Lucha Pro, yeah, with the Barro family against Ultimo Guerrero, Rey Hachichero, and Magnifico are probably my top 2. I hope, and this would probably be somewhere around 3 or 4. I don't know if it's as good as the 3-way.
Well,
Phil, I make a list. I liked it.
Well, Phil, hold on before Pete interrupted me. just saying, but now, you said something like, you know, that where a main event like that, you know, it really doesn't matter about the undercard. Did you watch the Royal Rumble?
I watched the main event.
So you watched the Rumble?
Like that.
So you watched the Rumble.
I watched the 3-way.
Okay, but you didn't see the rest of the show then?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, because that main event, you know, I know people are calling it Match of the Year contender already, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But to me, that match didn't save that show. I mean, it was so weird having a great match like that not being able to save such a horrible show.
Yeah, I've never given a show with a Match of the Year contender a thumbs down, I don't think.
You know. Anyway, Sorrow.
It saved the show for me, but I had the sense only to watch that match. It was great. Rolo was awesome. This three-way, I don't remember what else was on it.
Yeah. Sorrow, thumbs up or thumbs up?
Oh, really? Really? Okay. It's definitely a thumbs up. It is weird. It's one of those weird things, man, where this is my favorite main event of any of the NXT specials so far, but the undercard might be the weakest of them. But hey, you know, I kind of look at these as a Clash of the Champions back in the day. You know, every 2 months I get a 2-hour fucking wrestling show that I really dig, and there's going to be something great on it. And, or if not great all the way through, you know, you pretty much count on something being awesome. And
some of those Clash of the Champions were really bad, man.
Real, I know, but there was always something that you could walk away from and go,
What was the one that was main evented by like a six man with us, the Russians? That wasn't very good.
Or the one where Steamboat ripped Flair's clothes off. I want to say it's Clash 5.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was really bad.
In general, I can always find something that I enjoy in a show. But a main event like that, it's like, I'm like, I don't give a shit what else happened. Like that.
Got it.
So did you like the main event here better than the Royal Rumble main event, Johnny?
Yeah, I did. I'm not as down on the Rumble as everyone else. I love
Donald. Don't say.
No.
I'm down.
I'm cursed in the.
I was down on aspects of it, but I love that three-way. I like this far better because of the story that was going on. Is more what I think professional wrestling is, you know, at its best. And,
Clash of the Champions 5, St. Valentine's Massacre.
Listen to this card.
Midnight Express against the Russian Assassins.
Ooh, yeah.
Butch Reed versus defeated Stephen Casey. That match was 18 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Butch Reed, Stephen Casey, 18 minutes.
They gave Midnight Russians, what, about 18, too, didn't they?
It was 14.
Okay.
Lex Luger defeated the Blackmailer, who was Jack Victory doing double duty. He had Rotunda and Steve Williams against the Fantastic.
They guzzled the Fantastic that match. It was like
Ricky Steamboat, Bob Bradley, Rick Steiner, Rip Morgan, and your main event of your double DQ Road Warriors Tenru versus Mike Rotunda, Kevin Sullivan, and Steve Williams. They give Butch Reed, Stephen Casey 18 minutes, they give that 5. So that's your stinky Clash of the Champions.
That main event was supposed to be Sting, Michael Hayes, and Junkyard Dog.
They get locked in a closet. Who did that piss off?
All Japan. That's when they pulled the plug on the deal. You know, they did have some guys come in later in the year, like Steamboat and Sting, but yeah, that deal was done after that.
That was Tenru's lowest point of his career, was that angle.
But see, I remember that, and I remember enjoying that just by watching it and laughing.
Of course you enjoyed it. What did you say?
It was so bad.
Oh, it's great.
It
was
so bad. No, it was bad. But I just remember watching it. I actually watched that one for the first time like 5 years ago when I bought that Clash set. And I was like, I just smoked a joint and just sat there and watched that and went, this is awful, and laughed for 2 hours. And so, therefore, I got enjoyment from it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And then finally, Zellner.
Yeah. This was a great show. Thumbs up totally. I thought the last hour of the show, which is the last three matches, was as good of pro wrestling we've had on American television in a long time. So, yeah, we all remember what Dave said about that New Japan show on Axis. This totally smoked that one in many ways.
I don't know, man. The match is pretty great.
I'm going to watch that the New Japan show tonight, and I'm curious if – I think this show is probably going to be better.
But, yeah, I mean
– Then the Tanahashi Okada match?
No, the one that's tonight, which was last night or whatever. It's the Styles.
Yeah, the AJ Tanahashi match.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, this show as a whole was a better TV show than that was. And, you know, not just saying that Tanahashi Okada was a bad match. And of course it was.
I'll say it.
Yeah, you will.
You would be wrong. But, whatever.
But this was way. Everything was way better on this. And again, NXT, man, they just know how to do it, and it makes the Big Brother look like complete garbage. You know, especially when you got Big Show turning babyface again on SmackDown. I mean, it's just. Setting up Big Show against Kane, which is what we all...
Well, they haven't been that clear. It could be, a convoluted swerve, a trick on the audience. No, it could have been heel distraction. The two heels get into it during the match.
Multiple people said the same thing, Johnny. But, Raw looks like WCW Thunder, and, NXT looks like, WCW Great American Bash 1989. So, yeah, it's just no contest right now.
Yeah, the Raws are really rough to sit through right now.
But you know what's funny? I've been watching them on the Hulu now, and the hour and a half ones I've been enjoying the fuck out of. So,
but you also enjoy the 3-hour ones, right?
No, I'm saying. I'm saying I was getting tired of the 3-hour ones.
Oh, okay.
When we switched over to the Hulu, now I'm watching this hour and a half one. I'm like, I've been enjoying these shows that everyone's shitting on. I'm imagining everything's being cut out that I don't want to see.
And I will say this: it was very fun tonight to have Lucha Underground on at the same time and having direct really good competition against each other. I mean, we hadn't had that in years.
So you were watching both at the same time?
Same time, definitely. Sick. Yeah.
Wow.
And Lucha Underground was an awesome show tonight. Alvaro El Patron closed the show with a promo, his debut promo. Cut the promo of his life.
Really? I mean, Lucha Underground is a tremendous show. I mean, that's a fun,
burying
fun show.
WWE in Spanish, which was classic. And the fans are going nuts for him. And there was some really good action on the show. Great vignettes. They're doing everything right now, but reading the Observer today, oh boy. It could change and change in a bad way, but
what is that?
Vince Russo's name is now coming up.
Oh. Why would anyone do that?
Yeah. So he's coming to town. He's coming to town to tape his podcast. And he's interviewing Lucha Underground talent, but yeah, there's rumblings going around that there's mutual interest going on. So
that is depressing.
Yeah,
Vince Russo is the cancer diagnosis of wrestling. Like you feel a lump.
Half the roster is Hispanic. Can you imagine the guy who says that Hispanics can't? No one is going to watch him in America. Is going to book Lucha Underground?
He's the nationwide kids Super Bowl commercial of wrestling. Dead kids commercial.
Oh, shit. Okay. Anyway, so,
well,
Phil.
The thing about wrestling in general, you got to think about this. Wrestling is the crazy girl you date when you're 24. And you enjoy it, but it's always going to turn out badly. And you just have to be aware that it's going to turn out badly. Like, enjoy Sami Zayn now. They're going to screw it up. They always screw it up. Enjoy Lucha Underground now. It's going to get screwed up. But just be okay with it. Just say, all right, I know she's eventually going to burn all of my stuff. But you know what I mean? Right now, I'm going to enjoy it. So,
yeah, live in the moment.
Like, you're living the moment. She's bipolar girl. She's not the girl you marry. So that's true of all wrestling.
Yeah, there's always something you can find to watch and enjoy. I mean, there's so much stuff.
Well,
really great. It's YouTube. Just go on YouTube and look for shit, and you find shit.
Yeah, Robert Gibson and Doug Gilbert just had a match over the weekend. It's on YouTube. Everybody should go watch that.
Oh, nice. Is it good? Can't be good. Robert loves how much I love Gibson. Good walk.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty. Considering it is actually fairly decent.
I
know, right? After you just told everybody to go watch it.
Go watch it, though. It's a spectacle. It's Doug Gilbert, Robert Gibson in 2015.
Was it in a Georgia gym?
It was in Tennessee, actually.
No, it was in the parking lot of a Winn-Dixie.
But if I'm going to pimp Georgia matches, there was a great match on Anarchy with Fred Yehi and Slim J.
Is that the one Dylan's been
talking? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Go watch it.
All right. Y'all are rambling. Phil, what's going on at Segunda Cayeta?
We're doing, you know, we still continued our one, minimum one post a day. I've actually been putting up at least two posts every day this month. I've been doing a 10 p.m. complete accurate update every day this month. So I've got a, I reviewed an IK-ish account on maybe their first televised singles match with Nakanoku Pro, which is really, really fun to watch them as like kids beat on each other. I reviewed Jerry Waller, Madman Pondo, which 3 or 4 years ago, which is really amusing. So yeah, read to the guy. We're doing a bunch of fun stuff on there.
Hey, speaking of your
2015
site,
stuff soon.
Have you heard your buddy Eric on a commentary yet?
Yeah, he's good. I haven't heard him.
All right, Pete, what do we got to look forward to on the Titans?
It's like when your friend gives you like a CD of his band. You're like worried they're gonna listen to it.
That's hilarious.
On Friday, we have a show dropping. Johnny, me, and Kelly celebrate Black History Month. From the WWE Network.
Oh, Parv
didn't take part because, you know, he might be a, you know, Klansman from
England. Or maybe he's not from America. They don't celebrate.
No, I don't know. He had to sit out for some reason. You can follow us on Twitter at Titans O'Wrestling.
All right.
Cool. Do you think that Black History Month explains Finn Balor's face paint? Is that what he's doing?
His Odell Tolson?
Yeah, his Odell Tolson. He's
going to start singing Mammy in going all the way to the ring.
I knew somebody was going to mention Mammy. Anyway, okay. Johnny Brainbuster ended in a travesty of justice.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It got a lot of good feedback, though. People enjoyed the show.
Sincerely thankful that everyone enjoyed it. I'm in the middle of writing the second episode. We're recording it on the 28th. I'll drop, you know, a day or so after that. Brainbuster, the professional wrestling quiz show.
All right.
And that's... I want to thank you, Will and Pete, for being on the first episode. That helped it be as fun as it was.
Yeah, I didn't mind doing the job for those guys. Like
the job.
You had no choice, dude. That was a shoot. Shit. I did the true job because I'm the only one who attempted to even answer that final question.
Oh, God, you really...
I also appreciate you booking B or C list talent to get the kinks out before you bring me on.
Hold on, Chris.
Can attest to this. Unless you were locked in a closet for 30 years like Phil and Chris. Am I right, Pete? Like, when you're on there, man, your brain doesn't work as fast as
you think. No, it was different. Yeah, I already had like 8 concussions my whole life, so having to remember spot on history wasn't going to happen, man.
And you all know,
okay, Troy Aikman.
It's not always just what you know. It's strategy involved in some of these games.
I played football, I played rugby, and I boxed. I guarantee I've had more concussions.
Oh, that explains it.
If you looked at an MRI of my brain, it would look like a rot banana.
Christ. All right. So, hey, I don't know. Anyone, is Fastlane this weekend or next weekend?
Next weekend.
Okay. We won't talk about it then. I was going to say, if it's this weekend, we can talk about it, but we'll leave on a high note, man. We'll leave on this. Chris, just a reminder, since I got shit all over early on in the show, when do these Lucha Reports drop?
They drop normally on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. So, Thursday, excuse me. I got my days wrong. So there'll be one tomorrow covering the debacle of the Dos Leyendas press conference today from EMLL, which, you know, I have no idea how they think that Rey Bucanero and Terrible versus Maximo and Volador Jr. in a double hair match is going to draw when All Elite just came in there and drew almost a packed house with the returns of Dr. Wagner, LA Park, and Fuerza Guerrero, which, if you haven't seen the Fuerza Guerrero-Negro Casas match, it's on YouTube. and you need to watch it. Because
yeah, it's really good.
It is fantastic. Fuerza Guerrera, Meltzer brought up that the reaction reminded him of Hulk Hogan in Toronto in 2002, and
Was it that legit?
There's that validity to that. The fans just went complete apeshit for him.
Nice.
So,
all right. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about Lucha. Guys will often do that where it's like, I haven't given it to anything. It's 15 years, but you know, give an opportunity to do stuff. But that guy's a professional. You know, this is my thought about it. Like, of course, I haven't had a good match in 15 years. But
you know, he's pushing 60. Big stage. Yeah, he's pushing 60, and Casas is 54 or 5. And they just went out there and had a balls out match. So, yeah. Just all right. Great. Yeah.
Good job. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. I want to thank the guys for joining me tonight. Stay tuned in a week and a half, man. We're going to come back with some of the same fellas, and we're going to do the Fastlane reaction show. And I'll be on the Nitro viewing party with JR and Scott tomorrow. So check it out.
Jim Ross?
No, dummy. JR, the guy who runs the site. Anyway, we'll talk to you later. Place to Be Nation. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.